The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Ben Wright Human, author of the webcomics Cost Pain and the Letters of the Devil, and you are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 289. I hope all is well with you, and thank you for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. But before I talk about my guest, I'd like to highlight a couple of things that are going on in my world, a little personal news, if you want to call it that. As it seems that life is trying to get back to normal after this pandemic, which I think technically we're still in it, but things are starting to look a little better, especially here in central Ohio. Things are happening, and two things that are happening in the next couple weeks are two great independent wrestling shows that I am going to be a part of that I'd like to let you know about. The first show is this Friday, June 18th. OWA, the Ohio Wrestling Alliance, is back in action. Good Trouble 2, which is part of an even bigger show. That's right, there are three companies running on June 18th, all at the same venue, the King of Clubs in North Columbus. It's Paradigm Pro Wrestling, Unsanctioned Pro, and OWA doing kind of a super show that they're calling the Triple Threat. It's going to be a great night jam full of great wrestling action, and unfortunately, tickets are sold out. But you can watch it live on IWTV, Independent Wrestling Television, or you can catch the replay whenever it's convenient for you. You can get all the details at Ohio Wrestling A1 on social media. So that's the first show I wanted to talk a little bit about. And then June 27th, New Ohio Wrestling's back in action. They're presenting NOW 13, which is going to be held at the NOW Training Center, which is in Blacklick, Ohio. 3 p.m., a very special start time. It's going to be an afternoon show. Go over to newohiowrestling.com to get all the details. I believe there's a limited amount of tickets because the training center can only hold, 50 or 60 people. So if you want to get tickets, you better jump on it real quick. And you know what? I know you might be saying, I'm not in the Central Ohio area, John. I'm in Seattle, Washington, or California, or Texas, or wherever. Well, here, just go out and support indie pro wrestling, okay? You know my motto with the PVD Cast, especially if you're a longtime listener. I like those independent creators. I like those independent people doing independent things. Speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about my guest for this episode. His name is Paul Abbott, and he is the lead guitarist and lead vocalist for a band here in Columbus called The Secret Life of Houseplants. And they've been getting some buzz recently with their newest album that is out on Bandcamp and digital download. And that album is called Music for Houseplants and Other Wallflowers. So Paul and I sit down, we talk about the formation of the band, we talk about making that album, we talk about inspirations for the type of music you'll hear from The Secret Life of Houseplants. And we even, joke around a little bit about what maybe your houseplants are doing when you're not home. So it's a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it, especially if you're a music lover. I think you're going to dig it a lot. But before I get into that, I need to let you know, of course, about the great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they've got tons of single issues, graphic novels, comic book supplies, collectibles, back issues, one awesome pull system. Basically, if you need a comic book store to call your very own where you want to plunk down your hard-earned cash, you should consider World's Greatest Comics. Now, you might say, I'm not in the Central Ohio area, John, but I'd still like to check out the store. Well, you can do that. All you got to do is jump on over to their website, wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook at WG Comics. And if you interact with any of the great staff from World's Greatest, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I sit down with Paul Abbott from the band The Secret Life of Houseplants. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor and the privilege of sitting down this evening with Mr. Paul Abbott, who is the vocalist and one of the guitarists for Columbus-based band The Secret Life of Houseplants. Paul, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. Beautiful weather here in Columbus today.
Well, it's pouring down rain most of the day, but I guess that beats, 55 degrees last weekend, huh?
Exactly. It's our 1 week of spring before it turns into the heat and humidity that is Central Ohio.
Yeah, the joke is really true. If you don't like the weather in Central Ohio, just wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
Yeah, snow's not out of the question.
No, it is not. Not till you hit July. Then you can pretty much assume that that's not happening. But
yeah, I don't think we've ever had snow in June, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody was like, well, oh, really? Okay. I'll believe it.
Well, Paul, let's talk about the band. You have three other individuals with you that make up The Secret Life of Houseplants: Paul Galt, Jeff Cloudis, and Adam Cote. Can I ask, how did you guys meet?
Well, I've played in bands with a lot of different artists here in town since I was a kid. And a couple years ago, I've made records in my studio for quite a few artists around town as well. So I always had a guitar laying around, and I was just really kind of, I love all the people that I play with, but I wasn't playing what I was hearing in my head. So I picked up my guitar and taught myself a few chords that I liked as a producer and a musician, and wrote songs around them. Came up with themes and ideas, and then I worked with a guy named Sean Woosley, who he wrote probably 90% of all the lyrics. And we just worked well together. We're kind of trying to do a modern David and David, if you remember David and David from the 80s. Kind of our inside joke. But from there, I recorded all the songs, and then Paul Galt has been a long time cohort, playing guitar on all the Woosley records. I've played drums with him for his band Pop Quiz. Jeff Cloudis has been a local drummer on the scene who I knew could learn my drum part. And then Adam Cote is also just, long-term friend. And it just, we had an opening for bass player, and everything just worked out great. We really enjoy playing together, and I think you can hear it when we play live.
So I'm going to ask, you are born and bred in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, actually, I grew up in Dublin and then moved down to campus area, 5th and High, actually, when I was 18. And I've pretty much been up and down High Street since then.
Okay. Were you enrolled in OSU, or did you just like the vibe of that neck of the woods?
Yeah, I mean, that's where, if you played in the band at that time, that's, kind of where you moved. Get out of high school and move down to the campus area. I did not go to Ohio State. I went to a trade school a little bit later on to learn audio engineering when it was a viable trade. And I've been doing that ever since for the day job. From broadcast radio is my main background.
I'm going to go back to something you said just a few moments ago. You said that you had help cut some records for a lot of Columbus musicians. Could you name a few of those, or would that be?
I've worked with Tim Easton, Megan Palmer, Happy Chichester, Brett Burleson, Derek DiCenzo. I've made quite a few records with Sean Woosley. Chris Burney from The Sun, if you remember them.
Yes, I do.
Sean Beal from Big Back 40. I did a record called Pocket Full of Sunshine probably about 10 or 11 years ago, where I co-wrote songs with all of my favorite local artists, Megan Palmer, Chris Sheehan, Micah from Two Cow Garage came in, and we did a song based on the art of the mixtape. We tried to make every line a song from a song that we had included on a mixtape for a girl at some point in our lives. And what was fun with that is that Micah is a younger guy, and as he was growing up, he really looked up to a guy named Sean Beal, who's in a band called Big Back 40. So I've been friends with Sean for a long time, and he was doing a song on the Pocket Full of Sunshine album, and I had him come in and do the guitar solos for Micah's song. And then when we did the CD release, Micah actually got to play with Sean, and it was a really great experience seeing, you know, a generational thing like that in front of your eyes. It was really cool. But so yeah, I've done a few songs, done a few records with some of the guys around town for sure.
Well, let's talk about hearing your music for the first time on the radio, because CD92.9 has been playing Momentary Coastal Fatigue a few months ago, and you know, caught on. What was it like the first time you heard it?
It's still great. Anytime you hear your own music on the radio, it's a good thing. When they were 101, they had a couple of the Pocket Full of Sunshine songs actually on the radio, and it was always great hearing that. And then the last Sean Woosley album, they've been playing a song that I'm playing all the guitars, all the drums, and I think we have Paul Galt playing bass and guitar on that. What's that called? I forget the name of the song now, but they've been playing it for almost a year in the local gems section, and you can't say enough great stuff about those guys. I mean, they're always... You know, we're really fortunate for the local radio stations in town, 92.9 and WCBE, you know, who can forget them as well, and their great Studio A. And between the Big Room and the Studio A, you're covering pretty much all the good music in town. You get the, you know, the acoustic hippie kind of stuff with 90.5, and then you get the more modern, you know, in the pocket stuff. I don't want to say hipper, but, you know, hipper stuff on 92.9. And yeah, it's a thrill every time I hear it. I'll be out driving around it while I'm working, and it's like, it's kind of surreal. It's like, yeah, I'm driving to an office building to fix something, and I'm hearing my song on the radio. Something seems amiss.
Well, first of all, I do want to say that I love CD92.9. I was somewhat heartbroken. Great. Yeah, I was heartbroken when there was that brief few moments where we didn't have CD102.5 mm-hmm. or 92.9, and I was really upset about it because it's a great radio station, and we should literally be so happy and so supportive of that radio station. Everybody in the city should.
Without a doubt.
It's a great station.
Without a doubt. I think I don't know how many there are, but there are not many fully independent radio stations that dictate their own playlist. Mm-hmm. You know, so many playlists are just calculated based on a region. You know, these guys get into it and can actually set a trend in a local market, and it's great. You know, it's great for everybody involved with that station, the advertisers, the programmers, the DJs, and the listeners especially. They get such a wide variety of just consistently good music. And, you know, my music aside, when they play those local songs at the bottom of the hour on 30 on the bottom of the hour, I'm consistently surprised at the quality of songwriting and production that we have locally. It's amazing. And I think we're in a golden age of music right now. So it's kind of awesome.
I will confess though, the first time that I heard The Secret Life of Houseplants was actually not on CD92.9 or CD102.5. It was actually on Sirius XM. I had gotten a free weekend, and it was on the, I think it's called University XM or something like that. It's kind of like their alt-rock, underground alt-rock station. And I remember because the name stuck out. I was like, Secret Life of Houseplants. That's a weird name for a band, but that was a cool song. And then honestly, Paul, within a week or so, or maybe it was 2 weeks, CD-125 or CD-92.9 at the time, whichever call numbers they were using, started playing it. I'm like, yeah, I remember that song. That was on the Sirius weekend.
That's amazing. Honestly, because I don't recall submitting anything to Sirius. It must have been somebody that picked up an early mix.
I don't know. That's amazing. Hand to God, that is the truth. I was like, I vividly remember it. So
we need management.
I was gonna say, I'm glad I could bring some good news.
Yeah, that's great. You know, if anybody out there is into managing bands and likes weird people, weird moody people, get in touch.
Is that how you would describe your sound? It's
yeah,
weird and moody?
I mean, yeah, we're all four of us as players I really think that when you get into talking about like the generations, like the boomers and Generation X and millennials and everything, I really think that we're forgetting a Generation Y. I think that like I'm kind of pocketed right in the center of Gen X, where it's like whatever, you know, there's kind of a true Gen X attitude. And then I think basically if Pearl Jam is your touchstone for high school, you're Gen Y. You know, Smith's Cure, Def Leppard if you were a jock and a, you know, kind of one of those dudes. But that's where the Gen X, there's got to be a Gen Y. So I think that what I grew up listening to in that arena really formed what I've written. You know, I've had somebody describe it as that Paul Westerberg joined The Cure. And I kind of love that. You know, it wasn't really intentional, but I hear what they're saying. So, like, I think you can hear, you know, pretty much every influence that I have or most of the music that I've ever listened to in my songwriting. It's pretty hard on your sleeve and very, very much of my influences and my taste.
Well, that was going to lead me to my next question is, who are some of your inspirations for creating music?
I mean, I pretty much named them. I love I was never a Clash fan. I think the Replacements are the only band that matters. And I'm one of those guys. I worked in record stores and for Ticketmaster for until I was like 21. And I love the Replacements up until Have You Seen Lucky. And even Don't Tell a Soul was a little off-putting to me. You could tell it was kind of a Westerberg solo album. The records they made with Slim Dunlop on lead guitar were pretty great up until Don't Tell Us All. And I think I don't know if it was record company pressure or Westerberg mellowing a little bit, but for me, Don't Tell Us All was kind of the downturn for the Replacements recorded in written material for that matter. And Westerberg did some pretty good solo stuff from there, but that's a meandering way to go. The Replacements, The Cure, Fishbone. I love that whole early third wave ska from LA. And then the no wave movement in the late 70s in New York, you know, Jonathan Richman, Modern Lovers, Television, pretty much, you know, all the Verlaine bands, Japan, Gong. If you like Frank Zappa, Gong was kind of a variation, kind of in the genre. Zappa was a huge influence for me when I was a kid. I remember I got Apostrophe Overnight Sensation when I was 11, and hearing, you know, like Nanook of the North, and just it was such a great record, and kind of led me down a path away from what was I listening to then? Iron Maiden. The first Def Leppard album when I was in seventh grade, I want to say. But yeah, long story short, No Wave and basically the first four or five albums of most bands from the early 80s.
Well, besides Def Leppard, do you have any other guilty pleasures?
They're not even a guilty pleasure. They were just really popular when I was in seventh grade. And Jennifer Alfred loved them, and she was in my homeroom class. So I had to have Pyromania. That was, I think you had to own that record. But my guilty pleasure would be Debbie Gibson's first album, Out of the Blue.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. I did not see that one coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I love girl bands. The Darling Buds, which are a little more of a cool point. The Darling Buds kind of led to, the Sundays. And then that got to like a band from Pennsylvania called the Innocence Mission, Transvision Vamp, the Close Lobsters. There's a lot of underrated early 80s music that actually may not be underrated now that I think back on it. But there's some really great stuff. The House Martins. Oh, if you ever heard the House Martins, it was kind of like a fey version of the Smiths, which you can't forget about the Smiths. I love the Smiths. I'm one of the few people that I think would say they broke up right at the right point. I don't want to see them get back together. If they did, I would not try to go see them. I love them, but I think they're perfect as they are, and I think Morrissey and Marr have been really smart about not playing gigs together. I love that they play Smith songs, but I love that there's no new Smith material. You know, I don't want to hear an aging, sad Morrissey. It's like, oh, come on, man, tell me it got better for you. Come on, I'm rooting for you. I want you to be happy. Like a happy Morrissey album. How great would that be? Well, actually, that's the House Martins. If you listen to the first House Martins album, that's kind of like if Morrissey had like a great month where like Mother Made a Breakfast with No Hog and he just had a great, day every day. Man, has anybody ever cross-referenced Morrissey to Ice Cube?
Never, Paul. You are the first.
But, you know, so basically the House Martins would sound like if the Smiths were just happy and had a great day every day. It's fun. But so, yeah, that's my genre. That's the stuff that I really like. And, I mean, I love old bossa nova stuff from, like, the 60s. Pretty wide. If it's good, I like it. Or at least I can recognize it. You know, that going back to Def Leppard, though, Pyromania, not a bad album. Whatever the one after that was, not a good album.
You know? I don't know. I don't know what the next album was after Pyromania.
I think it was Hysteria because it had Pour Some Sugar on there.
Yes, I think you
I
were
do
correct.
I remember that.
Yes.
So, yeah, even though
Stripper
I don't like
Anthem
it,
101.
There you go. Yeah, even if it's music I don't like or care for, I should say, I pay enough attention that I know what a song is. I've identified the name of a band, having never heard them before, just by hearing one of their songs without anybody telling me what it was. Like I was getting food at Ray Ray's one day and they were playing some music and my good friend of mine, Jared, works there. And I walked up and I was like, hey, is that Mastodon? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, cool. It's like, wow, that sounds like Mastodon would sound to me. And I asked him and wow, I impressed myself that day. I was like, wow. That's crazy. I did that. I'm happy.
Quite a party trick you have there.
I just need to find a way to get paid doing it. You know, that would be that's the party trick.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Paul for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, posters, hundreds on top of hundreds of back issues, a great pool system, a friendly staff. Basically, they got it all. So stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics. And if you interact with anybody from the store, please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from yours truly right here on the PVDcast. Well, did COVID impact... The Secret Life of Houseplants. I imagine you may have had plans to do some shows and maybe to do more interviews and whatnot, maybe tour some. So what was COVID's impact on the band?
It was bad for everybody. Fortunately, everybody in the band, and this is kind of a two-sided thing. Fortunately, everybody has day jobs, and we were able to keep them, which was something that, oh man, I can't even imagine having to go through that without a job or, you know, your normal income. That said, we played 3 online shows. We actually did 2 for WWCD, which apparently we're the only band that's done 2, which, again, love those guys. And then we did 1 for Ace of Cups as well. But yeah, we were, you know, we wanted to play Comfest again. We were ready to play Crest Fest, the Crestview area block party that we play every year, which is pretty surreal. And, you know, just Rumba, Ace of Cups, just our normal haunts. And yeah, we were talking about playing some out of town shows. I have a friend's band from Chicago that's coming into town in September. And yeah, we're supposed to play Bloomington, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Akron, and Columbus with them. And then in October, sadly, but also very cool, I have vacation time built up. And the plan is we're going to drive to Portland, stay with one of my best friends out there, play a show, go to San Francisco, stay with some friends there, play a show, and then go to LA, stay with some friends there. There's a theme with this. And play a show and then drive back, do like, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks, play 3 or 4 shows. Maybe play Denver on the way back. If it's on the way back, we'll have to map it out, but yeah, do like 3 or 4 shows. So not really a tour, just, you know, 4 guys burning some vacation time and having a good time out making some music.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the album Music for Houseplants and Other Wallflowers. Paul, how was the process for putting that album together?
Well, I'm moody, very moody, and decided to just kind of, you know, channel my adult angst into the music. Pretty much, there's going to be 3 more songs on the record that I'm finishing up. I'm kind of a one-man band on the record. There is a song where Megan Palmer sings backup vocals, but otherwise I'm playing everything on it, which has been fun for sure and a definite learning curve for me. But production wise, I really have certain tastes in what I want to hear on that. So the live interpretations are a little different. But basically, you know, just I had about 7 songs together. Sean and I got the lyrics done and I cut the vocals and posted them. And came up with the scraps for 5 more songs and finishing that up. So the plan is after I get these last 3 songs done, I'm going to press a vinyl LP and probably do a limited run of CDs as well. I was considering doing a release on a USB drive, but and that's still kind of in the running. We have to look at what everything costs. You know, being a one-man record company is not the cheapest thing in the world to do. So I'll have to see how much room I have on my credit cards when that rolls around, which actually should be July. I'm thinking I should have everything tied up by July.
I will give you a tip of the hat that I find the song Just Don't Get It to be fantastic. I mean, all the songs are great, Paul, don't get me wrong. But I don't know, there's something about that touches me that I really dug that song. And it is number 7, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yeah. I put 2 new ones on just last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have to check that out. So
there's 9 there. I put Be Here Now, which we generally, it's the last, most of the time it's the last song we play live. A big drop D droney song about, you know, appreciate where you're at and what you got while you're doing it. And then a song called Sleepwalk, which is very moody. It's got some, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. And that was kind of the whole point with The Secret Life of Houseplants for me, is that I only want to play music that I really want to listen to. And not that I don't want to listen to the music that I work on with my friends or play drums with. I just really want to listen to this music. You know, this is the music that I want to crank up in my car when it's late. And, you know, it's kind of like my own personal mixtape to myself, I guess. Or actually, you know, let's make it more succinct and say it's basically a mixtape to every girl I've ever dated. I think it's the accumulation. You know, you spend your whole life writing your first record, and then you got to put your second one out in a year. It's a lot of life experience. I won't even say mistakes, or let's say missteps, and how you get where you're at. You know, so that's kind of what I'm going for with it. Just I wanted to make music that I wanted to listen to myself, and I'm really flattered and touched that other people want to listen to it too.
What is My Houseplant Secret Life?
Oh God, they are doing all kinds of weird, crazy shit, and then they feel bad about it. You get home and they feel bad about it. They're like, oh man, they just start questioning what they were doing. And yeah, that's, you know, they're planning. There's going to be a takeover. They're just, I mean, you see.
Wait, they're plotting against me?
Oh, they are. They are. They're waiting for you not to show up for a month or two, and you're going to come home, and it's going to be like a little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, shit. I better not go anywhere.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Like, I've got to keep my cat here to keep him in line. Found one of those helicopter seeds in my parking lot the other day that was just perfect, so. I've got these potted plants on my balcony, and one pot that was totally empty. So I put it dead center in the middle of this planter. And after like two or three days, just the most perfect baby tree leaves had opened up. And it got cold the other night, and I brought it in and put it in my hallway so it would get sun in the morning. And it was down the hall from my doorway. So a good 20 feet away, I come inside the apartment. I left the door cracked open. My cat generally stays in the apartment. She doesn't go out in the hallway. I turn around and I said, Ippy, that's her name, Ipanema. Her nickname is Ippy. I said, Ippy, where are you? And she comes running in the hallway. Oh, here she comes in right now, actually. She comes running in from the hallway, looking at me like, oh, hey, what's up? And I was just like, no. She did. She walked right straight. The door was open. She went straight down the hallway, ate those perfect baby leaves, and walked right back.
Oh.
Like, she didn't make any other stops. And I was just like so bummed. I was like, oh, man. It was the perfect little baby tree. I wanted to watch it grow over the summer, and I'll plant another one. And it was adorable. So,
as we get up to our time limit here, Paul, let's talk about some upcoming shows. Do you have anything in the next couple weeks for The Secret Life of Houseplants?
Nothing in the next few weeks. Generally, we play the Crestview Festival in August, but that's not for sure. We may be playing in New York in a couple weeks, and I forget the name of the band, but our drummer, Jeff Claudis, has a friend that lives out there now and wants us to come out and play. So we're going to do that, and then we've got some September stuff coming up, but none of the dates are firm yet. It's kind of a weird time for booking shows. When they do happen, they'll happen pretty quickly. So if you keep an eye on our Facebook page, I'll post those as soon as we get them. You know, other than that, you know, call the radio stations and request it, and we appreciate it. Go to Bandcamp and buy it. Hopefully we'll have vinyl and compact discs available by the end of July. I hope to have all the mixes done by the end of June. And be ready to manufacture and sell by the end of July. So we'll see how that goes.
Besides the Facebook and the Bandcamp, are there any other social media or websites or anything else folks should check out?
Yeah, I mean, we're on Spotify, and apparently we're on Sirius XM. I think we're on YouTube. We're licensing the online stuff through a website called DistroKid that kind of takes care of all that for us. And I should say for me. So again, if anybody knows somebody that could be a fun band manager, you know, even Andy Kaufman's alter ego would be a blast. We'll get creative with it and have fun with it.
You know what? So just out of just, I just thought of this quick question. Is that probably the worst part about having a band is doing all the management and the contracts and the clerical type of stuff? Is that, in your opinion, is that the worst part of it?
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, so I've played drums in bands since I was literally like 11 years old. I wasn't playing, you know, like, you know, four or five shows a month or anything when I was a little kid. But from the time I was about 17 or 18, I was playing around a show or two a week, at least a show or two a month, on drums with, you know, various bands, around town. And it, you know, it's like, I never had to do any of that at all. I didn't have to be nice to the club owners or, you know, I mean, of course I am, but you know, I didn't have to do any of that, like press. They don't want to talk to the drummer, and that was fine with me. That was great. It's like, oh, he'll just start talking and won't shut up, so just keep the drummer away. So yeah, it's, I mean, I don't mind it, but it does. It gets to be like another job, and I, you know, I'd love to, you know, in a perfect world, that, you know, I wouldn't have a day job, and I could just write music, and we could play music for everybody. And have a manager to take a cut. You know, you're entitled to it. Those guys earn their money. I don't want to deal with lawyers or, you know, every club owner booking shows. It's much more fun to have somebody say, oh, here's a schedule. Oh, that's great. Let's do this. You know, long, short answer turned very long. Yeah, it's not a lot of fun to do that. Some people love it, though. I've known some guys in the past that loved being a manager. That was their way to say, yeah, I'm in a band. I manage them. You know, there's a cachet to that that some people dig, and I get it. It's a fun thing to do that not everybody can.
It's just playing to your strengths.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, yeah. Play within your envelope. You know, everybody's got their good and their bad, you know. You don't have to be a, you know, it's like Yamaha, the overachiever of everyone. It's like, hey, you need a really good piano drum set motorcycle? They make one. Go get it. It's going to be one of the best piano drum set motorcycles you've ever played and ridden at the same time. It's fantastic.
Well, Paul Abbott, thank you so very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. Ladies and gentlemen, The Secret Life of Houseplants, support this band. Go see them when they're out and about. Let the radio stations in town know you want to hear their music. Check them out on Bandcamp, social media, all that. Paul, thank you once again. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all. And don't forget to check out Mike Edison.
I will not. I will not. That's so, yeah. And I will definitely else check that out.
Anybody else out there wants to read a book about wrestling, punk rock, and living in Spain while editing national magazines, read the book, I Have Fun, Everywhere I Go. This guy's, wow, yeah, crazy.
Awesome. There you go. There's a little homework for the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. I want 3 pages when you're done. No time limit, just whenever. Whenever's good. 5 years from now, I'll be getting emails. Hey, dude.
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Paul Abbott from The Secret Life of Houseplants. If you love music, if you love something that's a little bit different, it's not your standard fare when it comes to music, you need to check out The Secret Life of Houseplants. It's a fabulous band. I'm happy that they're doing so well, especially here in the local market. You know, you got to get the local market nailed down before you start expanding. And you heard Paul talk about possible tours that they might be taking out to the West Coast and up to New York City. And I hope they create a great following no matter where they go. Definitely one more time, check out The Secret Life of Houseplants over on Bandcamp. YouTube, Spotify, etc. Now it's time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question or comment about this episode or any episode. You can shoot me an email if you want. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Or you can leave me a message over on the Instagram and Facebook feeds of this podcast, which of course is @PVDcast. Please let folks know where they can hear the PVDcast by telling them to go over to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. Or it's available through all of those major podcasting platforms. Just go to the search engine of your favorite podcast platform, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name, John Orlando, after it, and you're sure to find it. And don't forget to please rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. Subscribing means you never miss a great episode. But you know what? If you're a little more streamlined, if you are a little more easier going, if you're a little more chill and you're like, John, doing all that seems like a lot of work. Well, there's a simpler and easier way to hear the PVDcast. Every Monday night at 8 p.m., I do a live broadcast through the Facebook page of the PVDcast. And once again, that's @PVDcast, where I play the current episode of the PVDcast. And I also try to interact with you as well. So definitely check that out. It's also simulcast through my friends, the Scene Snobs and Three Geeks podcast, through their particular channels as well. And you should check them out, by the way, real quickly, just as a side note. ThreeGeeks.ninja is the home of the Three Geeks podcast, where they got a lot of great content. And of course, TheSceneSnobs.com, where there's over 30 different podcasts on that network. Please check them out as well. And as I said before, it's a great avenue to hear the PVDcast too. I seem to have rambled a little bit. So you know what? That means I need to get on out of here. So I'm going to do that. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.